What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Factory Report. I'm Caleb Burlingame.
And I'm Luke Grumman.
And today we're going to be catching up on the NFL offseason and the NBA playoffs. This is The Factory Report. Luke, will you do us the honor of doing the quick news?
Absolutely. It is my pride and joy to bring you today some nice news from our school. So, first of all, Aaliyah Frederick has been selected for the Co-Sida Academic All-District Team. And there's a quote with it. The senior becomes the third multi-time All-District selection in program history. Congratulations to her. Very nice achievement.
Congratulations. Clap, 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 clap.
Next piece, senior Mike Monahan, Taylor Hopkins, and Davis Feldman, all part of the EMU baseball team, have earned All-MAC recognition. So congrats to those guys. And to kind of zoom out from the school overall, there has been rumblings. There has been a report from Joseph Zucker of Bleacher Report that there is a new proposal to expand the college football playoff to 12 teams. The six highest-ranked teams with the six at-large teams. That's how it will work. So you have conference champions, and then you have six at-large. And the top four seeds would have a first-round bye. Finally, Michigan can have some postseason success, possibly. Although it's
For a while.
Caleb, big week for football. First of all, Julio Jones, the man, the myth, the legend, top three wide receiver in the NFL, is traded for, drumroll, a second-rounder and a sixth-rounder. Do you think that was undervalued at all?
Well, in today's age of football, we're starting to see people get traded differently than they were in the past, and you can't really compare it to the NBA. A second rounder in the NFL isn't really bad, and Julio, like we said, he's pretty damn old nowadays, so I don't particularly think it's undervalued for someone like Julio who is aging. He had an okay season last year, but wasn't too special, and could probably only give you, what, 2 years, Luke, before he's out of his prime, and this is when the Titans have to strike. So I think it was pretty even overall. The Falcons are going to be looking to rebuild anyway. I don't think they're going to be amazing this year with Kyle Pitts. That'll be great, but they got to reinvest in more picks. So I don't think it was that bad. Maybe they could have got a first rounder for him, but the Titans pick isn't going to be that high anyway. They're a playoff team. So pretty overall well-rounded, but what do you think?
I mean, by the way, I didn't mention he got traded to the Titans. Yay! But here's the thing. GMs really value their draft picks or their fun coupons. You have to be a really good player to get a first. And you keep seeing that with athlete after athlete. GMs see each pick as a potential, like, okay, if I hit this, I'm never – if that pick was a hit, I'm never going to hear the end of it, you know. That they have that mentality when it comes to players. Now, also, Julio, massive contract, 32 years old. He's got probably at most 2 years of production left, I feel like. There isn't that sharp of a taper off point for wide receivers as there is running backs, but hey, that is what it is. So I can understand why it'd be a second and a sixth. But myself, I'm watching him, I'm like, he's so much more than that because he's a pro. It's like it's going to be a repeat of the whole Tom Brady situation where Tom Brady, he's old, but he comes in and he makes the team better in every way. AJ Brown's going to be better. Every single wide receiver's there. The entire offense is going to be better. They're a legitimate offensive threat, and it's not just because of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, like you said, that's going to pull so much pressure off of Derrick Henry and AJ Brown. AJ Brown already had a kind of coming out party last year where he really boomed and started to show that he was a good wide receiver one, wide receiver two. And now that every team they're going to have to play is going to have to focus in on Julio too and focus on Derrick Henry, that they're going to have to focus on Derrick Henry, it's going to be absolutely gross. My only concern is that Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback, and he is so hit or miss lately. I swear that if he comes out well,
I feel
maybe.
Like he's good enough.
Yeah. Good enough is exactly like the enough. Word. He's, enough. Yeah. Good enough.
I mean, this is, I don't know if I'd exactly compare him to Matthew Stafford in terms of being good enough. Like, Matthew Stafford's always been, I believe, at least good enough. But, hey, that's what I'm thinking. But, whatever. Next topic of NFL contention. What the F is going to happen to Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, man.
Because there was a report yesterday This is according to Bleacher Report. Pitting on my phone, and I'm like, wait, what's this? Apparently, Jordan Love had a really, really banger practice yesterday. And by the way, for those who don't know, Aaron Rodgers is currently not going to minicamp, and he's kind of holding out, I believe, for a new contract. And so, Jordan Love, banger practice, okay? Tight end coach Justin, I believe it's Outen, O-U-T-T-E-N, quote, started fanning him, and by like, you know, you're so hot. He's fanning him because he's torching the defenses so bad. He also said in a press conference that he was, quote, 100%, end quote, ready to start week one if needed. I just feel like this is more fuel to a fire that I don't know if it should be there.
It shouldn't.
Or I know that Aaron didn't want this to be a public thing. He never intended that. But Caleb, what are your thoughts?
It's so toxic, man. It just seems like that relationship in your high school that you always looked at, and you're like, man, they're still together. They've been so toxic for so long now. Why don't they just break up? They're terrible together. That's exactly how I see this Aaron Rodgers situation, is because you got Jordan Love, and it just seems like they're trying to piss off Aaron Rodgers more and be like, oh, look at your replacement. He's playing so well. Jordan Love's in minicamp, and he's torching a defense that is pretty subpar. Yeah, you got Jaire Alexander, and they got some good guys, whatever. But it's minicamp. And you're saying that he's so great that you think he's going to replace Aaron Rodgers out of minicamp? You guys are insane. Why would you upset your franchise guy who's won you a Super Bowl even more just to be a little toxic?
Who also was MVP last year.
Exactly, Luke. Like, yeah. I could totally see them just being petty and shipping him off to somewhere terrible like Houston or somewhere that's just he's never going to win again
Don't
for
say
his
that.
Career.
Don't
just
say
to be
that.
Petty. Just to be petty. And it's just, it's a really bad situation. And I hope that both sides, well, as Alliance fans, I hope they keep it up because it's terrible for them. But as an Aaron Rodgers sympathy person, you know, I can sympathize and I hope he can go to somewhere that he can maybe win a title again, because it's not going to be in Green Bay anytime soon.
No, absolutely. That organization, it's a good organization, but I just feel like with this situation, they're really botching it. It's because their fundamental principle is always no player is more important than the team.
Yeah.
And that includes Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, that's why they drafted Jordan Love as his replacement almost. And there have been, you know, the GM, I forget, Gunther Kunst or something like that. I forget how his name is pronounced. But he said, Rodgers is our guy. He's the one we want. If he's the one you want, then why is this circus going on? Why don't you just sign the man, you know? Mm-hmm. And the reason is because they don't want to sign an aged vet, even though he just won the MVP, even though he's still a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's just my take. But take it away, Caleb.
On to the playoffs. We have a few things to talk about before we're going to get into each series. We'll talk about each series, keys to the victory for both squads.
NBA playoffs, right?
Yes, NBA playoffs. Yes, NBA playoffs. Sorry, guys. But first, two topics that we got to talk about. The Luke Jinx hit me. Maybe we should start calling it Caleb Jinx. My Lakers got bounced. But I will say,
Let's go. Suck it, Lakers.
I'm not upset.
Suck it, purple. Let go.
Hey, I'm not upset about it.
You think you can win because you got a lot of money?
Oh.
A lot of money? Well, I got news for you. Phoenix is ready to go to the title.
I'm rooting for Phoenix. They deserve it, man. Devin Booker went off. See,
absolutely.
I
did not think. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm not a salty fan in the fact that I'm not going to, you know, give the Suns what they deserve, because they did. They played great. They outplayed the Lakers completely. But you can't pin the loss on LeBron, and you can't pin the loss on Anthony Davis. And those are my two favorite players. So other than that, I don't care. Here's the thing. LeBron played great. He was injured the entire season. He was an MVP candidate, was probably going to win it before that high ankle injury. Anthony Davis injured for, the 50th time this season. Tried to play in Game 7. Not his fault. Game 6. My bad. Sorry. Tried to play in Game 6. Just was too hurt. Had to leave in the first quarter. Props to him, but it just wasn't the Lakers' year, man. Dennis Schroeder played like dog water. Drummond played like dog water. Every role player on the Lakers, just bad. But continue.
Let me ask you this, Caleb, because, you know, I'm sorry to rub salt in the wound, but I'm kind of not. What is the Lakers' future with this, whole thing?
Oh, man.
What do you think?
They got to make some moves, and that's going to depend on how this postseason ends up, because we'll see how each team is going to shape out, you know, depending on title hopes and who wins the title and who wants to, shake their team up too much. But I think the only people that are untouchable are LeBron and Anthony Davis. Everyone else, I don't care. Move them if you want. Move them if you don't. It's your guys' franchise. You got to protect LeBron and Anthony Davis for however much time left they have together, because LeBron will be turning 37 in December, and he is getting very old. So the window is closing quickly, Luke, as we say. The window is closing quickly.
I know we're spending a lot of time with the Lakers, but I just can't. It's just uncomprehendable that LeBron is 37 and still playing at MVP level. But, yeah, no, Kyle Kuzma has really sucked.
Yeah, he needs to get shipped out.
I liked him. I liked him. Brandon Ingram was always the best of the three when it comes to Lonzo Ball,
yep.
Kuz, and him. But, hey, whatever. But, yeah, I know. It's a great day for every state other than California. And I did not think that Phoenix would be able to do it. So, real props to them. You know, last episode I said, hey, with Chris Paul injured and Devin Booker playing the way he was playing, I didn't think they'd be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And they proved me wrong. And I am so happy to be wrong right now.
That's you're so happy to be wrong. That's good, Luke. Another topic we want to get into right before we get into the series to talk about is Jokic winning the MVP. He played great all season. This wasn't really a tight race. It was kind of between him and Embiid. Kind of Chris Paul. I mean, LeBron was kind of in there for a little while. Steph Curry was up there too. We talked about why Steph Curry didn't deserve it in a previous episode. Go check that out if you want.
Yeah.
But I had it down to Embiid and Joker. So good for him. He won it. It's kind of weird because no one's really giving it like props. You know, I'm not really seeing it like on social media being like, yeah, you know, Joker won. Good for him.
I feel like reason for that might be because people are like, oh, it's a COVID year and everyone's injured. Because people still have the stigma that COVID year is, you know, it's COVID, it's different, you know.
Fans are in the stands, though.
I mean, yeah, it's just, yeah. I mean, like, there something weird that has been happening with COVID seasons across the sports is that there's way more injuries.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's specifically because of COVID or maybe it makes bad training or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of injuries to top contenders. He'd still be, if everybody's in, he'd still be a top three, like, contender.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, injuries happen. You know, if you're an Embiid stan or something else, sorry, not sorry. Like, this is the way it is. If you get injured, you miss time.
Yeah.
That's the price you got to pay. And there's nothing really else to say. But I want to know, will he actually shave this time? And we showed that. We showed a picture of him to our producer, Ronya, and he is – I was watching – this is like 4 years ago. And no, it was 3 years ago. We were watching the Nugs at a hotel room, and my brother leaned over to me. He's like, "Dude, Joker is so ugly." And I was like,
"You don't have to do the man like that.
He's a good basketball player. I know."
Ronya said was that he looks perpetually upset.
I mean, he looks like, I don't know. He just looks like he's. I'm not going to say anything else. All right.
Yeah, let's move on.
Enough of ragging on him for winning the MVP.
Exactly. Anyway. Good for him. Props. But yeah, now,
congratulations,
Luke, 8 teams remain in the NBA playoffs. We are chugging along as it goes. By this time next week, we will probably have our conference finals set. But right now, let's talk about the Eastern Conference. We've got the Nets and the Bucks. Last night, the Bucks saved their season, gave themselves a chance. They took game 3. They needed to take that game. You can never go down 3-0. No team has ever came back down from 3-0 in any playoff series ever. And Giannis led the team. But what's so scary, Luke, about last night is that the Nets shot 21 for 61. That's terrible. And they still only lost by 3. And another thing, the Nets don't even have James Harden right now. They don't even have James Harden. Game 1 and 2 were massive blowouts. Game 3, like I said, slim margin of victory for the Bucks in what should have been an absolute destruction. Giannis is getting exposed, brother. Giannis is getting exposed to not be able to carry a team like Bron, Shaq, or Kobe did. And I think he needs a co-star. He can't do it alone. And Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are not the guys for him.
I mean, Chris Middleton isn't the guy? Wow, that's a hot take. Yeah, no, he's out. But no, you're kind of right about Giannis, because he still can't shoot the three, and that makes him susceptible, I feel like, just from his offensive game. So let me ask you this. Do you view him kind of like Shaq in that he maybe needs a Kobe, or do you view him on that same plane or what?
I think Kobe needed Shaq more, but yeah, it's the same. Ooh. It's the same way, Luke. In this era of basketball, we're seeing no one can do it alone. There is not one team in the NBA. Look at Steph Curry. There's not one team in the NBA that has one superstar and can get to the playoffs. It can't happen.
And before you say Knicks, Julius Randle is not a superstar.
Nope. But go ahead. He's not in that echelon. Thank you. They're a more well-rounded team. They're young, and like we said, they got bounced. Yeah. But some keys to win this series. I don't really know if there is a key for the Bucks. I think the Nets just had an off night last night, and that's not going to happen.
You live by the three, die by the three.
Exactly, and that's not going to happen every night, Luke.
Yeah, except they barely died.
Mm-hmm. That's not
that's the problem.
That's not going to happen every night. The Nets are going to outshoot you probably 5 out of 7 games in the series. Maybe you'll catch them cold once or twice, but you're not going to catch them cold all the time. Giannis is just going to have to be absolutely dominant. Everyone else on the team is going to have to set up. Holiday and Middleton are going to have to hit every single shot that comes into their hands. And they're going to have to pray and hope that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving somehow go cold. Because this series is looking like a foregone conclusion. Last night helped the Bucks. It did. But even now, they're going to have to even the series at 2-2. I mean, if they go down 3-1, I give them zero chance. So for the Nets, though, just keep doing what you're doing. Chug along. Trust your players that have gotten you here. And then you'll get there.
I mean, this could be the spark that the Bucks need, because they're going to need a superhuman effort in order to overcome this stacked all-star Nets team.
Mm-hmm.
This could be what they need. But I highly doubt it. Is still theoretically possible for them to pull themselves together and put together a superhuman effort. However, I don't think they have the horses to do that. That's the key for them. Yeah, and like you said, the Nets, like, I mean, like, there's nothing much else to say. Just, like, keep freaking hitting shots now. Yeah. I will say, Caleb, you're spinning up hot takes like hotcakes today. You're
out hot takes like hotcakes.
Chef Caleb. But, yeah, who's the next?
Next series next we're going to focus on to finish out the Eastern Conference is the Atlanta Hawks versus the Philadelphia 76ers. This has been a fun series so far. Trae Young, I think he has surprised a lot of people in this postseason, this whole season entirely, I think. He's blossoming, man. He's coming into a young star. I think that within a year or two, he could be superstar level, but I don't know if he could win this series alone. Philly is my favorite for the Eastern Conference, and the Hawks are just really young. They're really young, and I see the Sixers coming out in about 6 games. What have you thought so far, Luke?
You're absolutely right about Young. I mean, he's really – everybody just thought he was a Steph Curry wannabe, but he's showing himself to have a bit more metal than that, and I do like that. He is kind of – I don't want to say boring to watch because he just takes threes all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're exciting shots still. But, yeah, he's really playing a lot better, but Philly's more of a tried and true –
contender.
You know, we've been around the block. If you want to beat us, you have to bring something else. I don't know if the Hawks in totality have that, and I don't think Trey is developed enough as a star to overcome Philly, barring something nigh unbelievable.
Yeah, so the series is tied at 1 game to 1 game. Game 3 takes place tonight at 7:30. That is June 11th when we are taping this episode. It's pretty even so far. The Hawks got the first game, but I don't see, like we said, the Sixers getting upset too far in this series. Embiid's just going to have to dominate. He's going to have to open up shots for his outside guys, take some pressure off Ben Simmons, and hope the Hawks don't play hack a Ben and make him shoot free throws all game. That's really the key, is just you're better. The Sixers have a better team. You're more well-rounded. Abuse it. Use it and abuse it, and you'll be the better team, and you'll come out on top. But for the Hawks, for them to win, Trae Young, it's going to have to be a superhero effort. You're going to have to get those young guys to step up. I feel like a broken record, but it's the same way. It's like David and Goliath, brother. They're going to have to come up big, and they're going to have to make all their shots.
Not only that, but their bigs would have to play amazing defense. Clint Capella and whoever the other guy is. They have, like, some Euro guy. But they'd have to play amazing defense on Embiid, and Embiid quite possibly could have won the MVP if he wasn't injured. So I don't know how feasible or plausible that is, but that's the road it takes, because this is a very tough team. This is a tough team to beat, and this is the Hawks we're talking about. No disrespect, but, you know, they're only a few years into their rise, so you can't expect that much from them.
I got Philly in six. Moving on to the Western Conference, we have two series left to talk about this episode. Jazz versus Clippers. This is a lot of fun for me right now because the Clippers are getting their butts kicked right now. If I'm not mistaken, I'm looking it up. Yes, the Jazz are up 2-0. They won last night. Clippers are down again 2-0. But as someone who is a Clippers hater, I can't doubt them right now because they came back from 2-0 against the Mavs. And I can totally see them doing it again against the Jazz. Kawhi, he's going to have to keep shining, bro. He's going to have to. And Paul George, he can't decide right now if he wants to be playoff P or pandemic P.
Oh! Got him.
Donovan Mitchell, another topic to talk about. He is just going off right now, dude. Like, it just makes me so mad because we bring it up every time we talk about Donovan Mitchell, but the Pistons had him in their lap, and they didn't draft him.
Don't stop.
I know. They got Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell. But right now, he's proving all the doubters wrong, and he's showing, hey, I'm on the level of Trae Young, and I'm moving up to the level of Luka Doncic. He's carrying his team. They have, you know, Rudy Gobert, who, of course, is the defensive player of the year. But Donovan Mitchell's playing great, dude. He's outplaying everyone in this series. I think he's the best player on the court. Hot take. Even with Kawhi and Paul George.
He's playing better than Kawhi and Paul George, like, almost combined. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I just realized something. I really have a lot of hatred for both L.A. teams. Like, the Clippers just, I hate their guts. I think I might hate the Lakers a little bit less because they play better basketball. But, yeah, Clippers are, makes me want to throw up. Even though we got Blake from them. But, that was a bad trade. But to zoom in on this, yes, Utah is really showing that, hey, we were like the number two seed, right?
Oh, Utah's one. They're the first seed.
Utah's one?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I got mixed up. But you're good. Yeah, they're like, hey, we're the one seed. We should be here, and we're going to show you why we were the one seed. They're really just opening up all their firepower on these suckers. I hope they bounce their asses. So bad.
Yeah, me too. The keys.
Kill them.
The keys are pretty similar. The Jazz are just going to have to keep defending Kawhi and Paul George really well. Rudy Gobert is having a great series. Donovan Mitchell's having a great series. Mike Conley's playing really well. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep plugging along. For the Clippers, Kawhi's going to have to. What'd you say?
I said I love Mike Conley, too. And they're shooting really well. They're out shooting the Clippers. At consistent
the Flippers. Clip. Oh, good one. The Clippers are going to need a good effort. Paul George, like I said before, is going to have to come out of his shell. But I see, honestly, I see the Jazz taking this in 5 to 6 games. I don't see this going very long. Oh, the Clippers use all their efforts against the Mavs, bro.
Caleb, I don't think they heard it one time. You wanna give it to them again?
I see the Jazz winning this series in 5 or 6 games. The Clippers just don't impress me. And they got lucky. They got lucky so much against Luka and robbed me of my Jazz Mavericks series that I desperately wanted to see. And they used all their efforts, bro. They used all their energy, and now the Jazz are going to capitalize.
Music to my ears, Caleb. You finally give a prediction that makes me happy.
Moving on to the final series for today and the final topic for today's episode, we have Phoenix versus the MVP caliber Denver Nuggets. And currently, the Suns are up 2-0 over the MVP-led Jokic Nuggets. Luke, what's going on there?
I mean, it's the Suns saying you forgot about us too. I mean, they really pulled themselves together in that Lakers series. And they're like, all right, it's freaking go time.
They did. They came back, man.
I mean, they're just playing amazing. And you know, you have these in the notes. DeAndre Ayton, people have been hating on him so bad. I'm sorry for stealing your point.
You're good.
But
I think
it really should be said. DeAndre Ayton, when he was drafted, everybody was like,
bust.
Oh, DeAndre Ayton, he's only drafted because Phoenix has ties in Arizona and the owners, whatever, at the school. So, and he's really shown to be more than that and a really consistent piece of this team. So that's really great.
Yeah, he deserves an apology right now.
You have right here everything Drummond should have been, including better free throw percentage. Yep. I looked it up. 63%, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me. But, yeah, I mean, Drummond's free throws have obviously been better. But Ayton's really showing himself to be good.
Yes, he is. And that's the key to this series so far, is that Ayton's locking down Jokic and no one else on the Nuggets can get hot. And then you have Chris Paul and Devin Booker, who are absolutely going nutty right now. Ever since the Suns went down in that Lakers series, Devin Booker said, oh, you said I'm not good enough? You said me. Okay, I'll show you. And then he just, he's been shooting like an absolute beast.
Legend says that he was listening to this podcast and heard my take challenging him to be better for his team, to live up to the expectations. And you know what he said? That Luke Grembin, he's really challenged me. I'm going to step up as a player.
Wouldn't that be something?
You're welcome, everybody. I gave you guys a great series. This is all because of me. You're welcome.
The Sun.
Mic drop.
So the keys here. The Suns, they just got to keep playing. They got to be playing hard. Ayton's got to not let Jokic get hot and has to keep defending him in the paint. Booker's got to keep that clip going. And Paul's just got to keep throwing the assists, run the offense, keep everyone in line on defense. For the Nuggets, everyone else has got to step up. Jokic can't be the only one that's leading them in every statistical category. You got to have people make shots. You got to play defense. And I don't know if the Nuggets can do it.
Yeah. Just a question. Do you know if Chris Paul's shoulder is still bothering him?
Doesn't look like it. If every game I've watched so far in the series.
He's not playing like it.
Exactly. Was it a fake injury to punk out the Lakers? Who knows? I mean, it might have been.
Flu game.
Might have been a fake flu game to ignite the Suns, but
right now I'm
feeling like Suns in 6 or 7. I think they have a more well-rounded team, and if they get to the conference finals and they play the Clippers and the Jazz, it might be the Suns in the finals.
Let's go.
I'd like that. That'd be cool.
What a turnaround. Are you kidding me?
I like it. It's good for the league.
Yeah, it makes me happy, too. I really like that, having that parity.
Yes.
I do like it. Not as much as hockey, but I do like it like this.
I do agree. And hopefully our Pistons will be there in a few years. It's looking good, brother. We're probably going to have a top four pick. The lottery, I just want to bring this up before we head out. The lottery is in a few days. I think it's in a couple weeks. So then we'll find out what pick the Pistons have. But if they are in the top three, Luke, I predict the Pistons will be back in the playoffs within 2 years.
Is there any place they could read any articles on takes about who you think the Pistons should draft?
Of course, easternecho.com/opinions. I've been writing quite a few articles, and I will be writing more once we see the lottery come out. I'll put out a mock draft 1.0.
Please make sure to check it out. That'll do it for today's episode of The Factory Report. If you like what we do here, please, please consider subscribing on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to producer Ronya and our new producer, Devin, for helping to put together today's episode. From my creative cavern, I'm Luke Grimbin.
And from my desk, I'm Caleb Burlingame.
We'll be back next week with all things sports. This is
The Factory Report.